During my series on the model prayer, as I was going through some of the sections of that, the elements, I raised some questions and I said, I'll get to these later. Well, I haven't forgotten, not that I'm not prone to forget. It's been on a list, that helps me. And so I'm getting around to a couple of these. And the first one is this idea from chapter 6, verse 12, where in the model prayer it says, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Well, if I'm asking God to forgive my debts, to forgive my sins, it would seem then to imply that without asking that, my sins are not forgiven. So what's the case? Am I always forgiven or not? You know, most of us hopefully have been told, you know, from the moment we become a Christian that all of our sins are forgiven that we've done, and all of our sins are forgiven for as long as we remain a Christian. Well, this verse seems to say otherwise. That's not what Jesus is saying there, as I said in that model prayer series. This is more of a reminder that we realize our forgiveness is coming from God. You know, forgive us our sins is just to remember it doesn't matter how much I progress and how much I grow, which is, you know, in another video we talked about that standard, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, it doesn't matter how much I progress toward that perfection, I'll never be there. And so my relationship with God, my being saved, is based on God's grace, not me. And I just always want to remember that. Never think I've gotten to the point that I don't need. It's not His forgiveness that is the basis of that, that I've somehow earned it myself. Well, that explains that verse, but there's another one that might come to mind for a lot of people, which definitely seems even more difficult to explain and harmonize with this idea that I'm always saved. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us. Well, that would seem to imply if we don't confess our sins, that until we confess our sins, well, then they aren't forgiven. And of course, then maybe you've thought about this. Maybe you've heard someone say it, think it out loud, wonder about it. You know, the worst case scenario is, you know, I get in a fight with my wife here at home and, you know, I get angry and sin. I say things I shouldn't do. Again, I sin, but I'm angry. I drive off in the car. I get in an accident and die. Well, what happens to me then eternally if I didn't get around to 1 John 1 9ing? You know, I didn't confess that sin. Is it not forgiven? And if it's not forgiven, I'm not forgiven. Realize the implication of the way that this verse is usually interpreted, that I'm not forgiven until I confess a sin, is that I go from being lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, repeatedly. Not just throughout my life, throughout the day. As I do something, as I sin and fall, you know, and need forgiveness, and well, until I ask this, I don't have it, according to the usual thought. Then you have verses, though, like Romans 8:1 that says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, does that mean that, okay, I'm not in Christ Jesus when I sin until I 1 John 1 9 it? No, we are constantly in Christ Jesus from the moment we become a Christian. And so how do you harmonize these two verses? How do you harmonize with this idea that my sins are forgiven, not off and on? Well, as always, I say the number one key for interpreting a verse, a passage, is what? If you said context, pat yourself on the back. And just to continue the list, you know, the number two most important thing for interpreting, yeah, it's context too, so you can pat yourself on the back there. Number three, I'm guessing by now you probably got it, context, so you don't get to pat yourself on the back for that one. So 1 John 1, 9, the context is verses 8, the verse before it, and verse 10, the one right after. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, as you look at that, it's obvious there, those aren't talking about specific instances. It's not saying, you know, I'm in some situation and, you know, someone says I told a lie, someone says I got angry, and I'm saying I didn't. And, you know, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. You know, God's the one accusing us. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, this is talking about in general. if we say we have no sin, God, I have nothing that I need to be forgiven for. Well, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us, because the Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's in that context, when you read verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not a sin by sin thing. This is talking about, do I have sin in general that needs forgiven? If I say no, well, then I won't be forgiven. And John was writing to people who thought, you know, they didn't sin, didn't need grace, didn't need forgiveness. No. But if we admit, confess that we do, we'll receive forgiveness. This is not a sin by sin mantra, something we have to say to get forgiven each time. This is our approach in general. And certainly that applies. That, you know, goes with the model prayer. If we would ever get to a point to think, yeah, okay, I just don't need that. I want to base my relationship with God on just how good I am, my own personal righteousness. No, that will never work. It is always based on God's grace, because I am always short of his perfect standard of righteousness. Matter of fact, the first time I sin, I can never be as righteous as God. You can't be 100% if you have one thing that's missing. The only way I can be 100% is to receive Christ's payment for my penalty. So yes, when you become a Christian, you are saved for as long as you remain a Christian. God wants us to have that total assurance. It's the basis for our relationship with him, the peace that comes from that, because then we can enjoy this relationship that God has always intended. We seek to grow and mature. We seek to be transformed through God's grace, through his power. But we realize our relationship isn't based on that. It's based on what Christ has done. And we realize it's based on what Christ has done. It's a little bit of both sides. I don't have to be good enough to, you know, earn the relationship. I never can be good enough to earn the relationship. It's that humble assurance that God wants us to have that makes the relationship what God wants it to be. So I guarantee you, you know some people, maybe you, but I also, you know some people who are uncertain about this verse. So I would encourage you, you know, share this video, tag a couple people that you think would benefit from it. And both of you, all of you, look at the action steps, follow up on this, ingrain this principle. Thanks.